Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Be Radiant Radio. You are made of light and you are made to shine. Positive, uplifting, and helpful. Welcome to the show where you'll get informational and inspirational ideas on how to unleash your potential, get what you want in life, and shine like you're meant to.
Hi, and welcome. I'm Angela Loeb, your host of Be Radiant Radio. Are you wondering what I mean by today's topic, by the phrase, behold the turtle? Well, it comes from something I read many years ago by James Bryant Conant, a man who lived an extraordinary life. He was a major in World War I, became a scientist, an educator, and president of Harvard University. He also got involved in overseeing the restoration of German sovereignty after World War II, leading him to become the first U.S. ambassador to West Germany, and later being awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom. This quote by him that I love so much, it goes like this: behold the turtle. He only makes progress when he sticks his neck out. So basically, the turtle is a metaphor for what today's program is about, shyness and coming out of your shell, so to speak. That, and in particular, we're going to look at what it means to be introverted and what it means to be extroverted. And just so you're not confused, in case you didn't know, being shy doesn't have to do with being introverted. Both kinds of personality styles can be prone to shyness. And actually, that's a great place to start, about shyness and what it is. Did you know that shyness is about fear? It's about the fear of social judgment. Shy people fear social encounters. I know a lot about shyness because I was once shy. I feared social encounters, and guess what? Shyness can be cured, overcome. But being an introvert, it's not something to overcome. Introversion isn't about fear. It's about preferring solitary activities over social activities. It has to do with where we get our energy from. It's about preference. Basically, we're all social. We're primates, after all. I mean, humans are primates, and so we're social. And that means introverts are social, too. Introverts just prefer, even need, more alone time than extroverts. Extroverts get energy from being with people. In fact, being alone too much can make the extrovert feel drained of energy, just like an introvert being with too many people makes them feel drained of energy. But before I get into all of that, I want to get back to shyness for a minute. According to the American Psychological Association, most people feel shy, at least occasionally. But for some, it can be so intense that it keeps them from interacting with others, even when they want to or they need to, leading to problems in relationships and at work. But what if you're shy and introverted? It happens. I'm a prime example. I am introverted, and I was shy as a child. Heck, I was shy to a great extent, still well into my 20s. I grew out of my shyness because I gained more confidence and I overcame my fear of social encounters. It took a lot of practice and a lot of courage. So when I tell people that and they don't believe me that I was ever shy, that's because they see the results of my courage. They see now what I pushed myself to do, what I pushed through. If only they knew the story of my personal path from where I was to where I am now. And, you know, there's a great irony in it. To illustrate, let me tell you about college. You see, when I was in college, I changed my major a couple of times because, really, I had no idea what I was doing. Neither of my parents had attended a traditional college, and I was the oldest of four kids, leading the way, so to speak. I mean, my siblings have all gotten college degrees, but I was the first. And so I was on my own, and at first I thought to get a job in the business world meant that I was supposed to get a business degree. So that was my first major. After a while, though, the course requirements that really got to me, tripped me up. It was calculus for business majors that finally did me in. I mean, that's an area of math I had zero experience in. So here I was in college trying to take calculus. Crazy. Then I got the bright idea, okay, I'm going to change my major, and let me combine my interest in literature and writing and liberal arts classes with business. So I changed my major to communications. It seemed like a bright idea, that is, until I took a speech class, which meant that I had to give presentations in front of the class. Now, remember, I said I was shy. I was terrified, up there stammering, trembling, knees knocking, sweating furiously, soaked. I was lightheaded. It was a disaster. I was a disaster. After only one semester, I decided that a communications degree was not for me. Now, you're probably thinking, why didn't she just go into the writing part of the communications field? Yeah, duh, that would have been a good idea. But like I said, I was naive about college, and it didn't even occur to me to go speak to a career counselor about all of this. The first bit of irony, right? Seeing that I'm a career advisor now. Anyway, this time, when I went to go change my major, I decided just to go for it and study what I wanted to do rather than what I thought I had to do. So I changed to an English major with a writing concentration. My passion at that time was writing poetry, and the way I saw it, reading my work aloud to a handful of students sitting around in a circle was much more bearable than standing in front of a class giving a presentation, especially about topics that I didn't know anything about or wanted to know about. But even that intimate classroom setting, it still caused fear. So, yeah, shyness. But I persevered, and I finally finished my degree, and as I said, I gained more confidence. So let's fast forward to my career in the career field, when I found myself being more and more, I was always being asked to do public presenting, representing my company to the public at trade shows and later job fairs. I gave lectures to business students and colleges. I presented to job seekers and so on and so on. So it's funny, isn't it? Today I stand in front of groups of people, sometimes large audiences with hundreds of people, and most of the time, now, I have very little, if any, nervousness at all. I've stood in front of a variety of types of and sizes of audiences, and I presented with passion and enthusiasm and not, like, up there sweating to death. So I just think this is something I find especially ironic. Let's just add in the fact that I've designed and taught classes and even have one client right now that I do consulting with about how to give presentations. Yep, funny, isn't it? There you have it, a little bit of insight into my own journey from shyness to overcoming shyness, like the universe having a laugh at me and saying, ha, 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 you're not going to stay shy. And yet people still think that I'm saying that I'm introverted. When I say I'm introverted, they think I'm saying I'm shy. They confuse introversion with being shy, and it's easy to do. I can see that. But I'm acutely aware of the difference. You see, I'm not shy anymore, but I am introverted. After talking to groups, whether presenting or simply networking, I must go off and be by myself for a while to recharge. My fellow introverts listening to this, they're probably not in their head saying, yeah, I know, I get that, that's me too. I love this description of the distinction between shyness and introversion. It's from the Psychology Today article by Sophia Dembling, and she's also the author of a book called The Introvert's Way, Living a Quiet Life in a Noisy World. She says that, quote, the two get confused because they're both related to socializing, but lack of interest in socializing is very clearly not the same as fearing it, end quote. Yeah, that's really good. Okay, so that's what I want to say about shyness. Now let's switch gears and talk about the biology of introverts and extroverts. Yes, the science of it. And later I want to point out a few major advantages us turtles have in society that might be easily overlooked. So here's what we know about the science of introversion and extroversion. First, let's start with what Carl Jung said. He's the one that got us started into this kick of defining personality this way. So let's start with him and what he said. He pointed out that everyone has both an extroverted and an introverted side. When we have the ability to pull from either side, both of us, you know, introverts and extroverts can pull from either side depending on the circumstances. It's just that we have more dominance of or more of a natural preference for one or the other. In fact, he said, and I quote, there is no such thing as a pure introvert or extrovert. Such a person would be in the lunatic asylum, end quote. Okay, thanks for that clarification, Dr. Jung. So none of us are pure introverts or pure extroverts. Got it. And in fact, these days, if you look around on the internet, you'll find that some of the visual models of the sliding personality scale between introvert and extrovert, they offer up a third term to describe those of us who show up as dominant at the midpoint. They call this middle style ambiverts. Apparently, according to Wikipedia, an ambivert is moderately comfortable with groups and social interaction, but also relishes time alone away from a crowd. All right, so there are no extremes, but there are definitely some biological differences, especially in the brain and nervous systems of our bodies. So about the neurotransmitters first. scientists have looked at the levels of what the body produces, specifically dopamine and acetylcholine. These are both linked to pleasure. And here's what they found. Turns out that we all have these neurotransmitters and in equal levels, and we use both. It's just that there's a difference in which one we prefer to use depending on if we're an extrovert or an introvert. In her article, Are You an Introvert or an Extrovert? What It Means to Your Career, for Your Career, Belle Beth Cooper says this about extroverts. The dopamine system in the extrovert's brain tends to push them towards seeking out novelty, taking risks, and enjoying unfamiliar or surprising situations more than others. Of course, my introvert friends and me are both going, oh, my God, the unfamiliar, the novelty, taking risks. There you go. Okay, and then Jennifer Graneman, in her article, Why Introverts and Extroverts Are Different, the Science, she describes what goes on with the introvert. Acetylcholine makes us feel good when we turn inward, she says. It powers our abilities to think deeply, reflect, and focus intensely on just one thing for a long period of time. It also helps explain why introverts like calm environments. It's easier to turn inward when we're not attending to external stimulation. When I lounge at home, she writes, when I lounge at home in quiet solitude, lost in a book or watching Netflix, I'm basking in the pleasant effects of acetylcholine. Yeah. Thank you, Ms. Graneman. That is my perfect evening, watching Netflix or getting lost in a great book. Yeah. So Graneman also points out what happens in the nervous system. In her article, she talks about that too, about how we use different sides because of these different neurotransmitters. She says acetylcholine is linked to the parasympathetic side of the nervous system, which is nicknamed the throttle down or rest and digest side. And she says both introverts and extroverts use both sides of their nervous systems at different times, just like they use both neurotransmitters. But, she writes, no big shocker here, extroverts tend to favor the opposite side of the nervous system, the sympathetic side, known as the full throttle or fight, flight, or freeze system. Interesting. So in addition to knowing about the neurotransmitters we use, there's also information on how the brain actually processes the stimuli, how the stimulation coming into our brain is processed differently. In Cooper's article, she cites research showing that, quote, for extroverts, the pathway is much shorter. It runs through an area where taste, touch, and visual and auditory sensory processes take place. For introverts, stimuli runs through a long, complicated pathway in areas of the brain associated with remembering, planning, and solving problems, end quote. Now you know why we seem to be so different from each other, introverts and extroverts, because we are different, biologically speaking, as far as what our preferences and how they biologically manifest it is. And if you're an ambivert, both sides of all this is probably making a lot of sense to you. You're probably pretty equal in your need for that solitude and downtime while also seeking out the crowd energy. Anyway, sometimes it's dopamine and sometimes it's acetylcholine, and that goes for all of us. It's just that at the end of the day, it's about what we prefer that accounts for the difference. Now, we all know that being extroverted, at least in the United States, is an advantage in our society. So, for example, I once saw a study, and I tell you that I cannot believe they actually had to do a study to prove this because we already know it's true, especially of those of us who are introverts. But it was a study done by Georgia Tech University and Georgia State Department of Labor, and it was to test job seekers. And they realized that job seekers who are extroverts, as well as those who acted like they were extroverted, so you could be an introvert, but you acted like an extroverted, did extroverted behaviors, they were more likely to get hired. So I think, okay, go figure, of course. So we know extroverts are favored by our society, but what about the advantages introverts have? Hey, there are definite advantages to being an introvert. You know, you want to know what those are, just go check out the excellent TED Talk by Susan Cain called The Power of Introverts. In it, she talks about the major advantages that introverts have that might be easily overlooked because our society tends to, ever since the Industrial Revolution, as she points out, holds up the extroverted way of being the paragon of a successful and happy personality type. Here are a few of the things that she tells us in her talk. First, she says that introverts get better grades and are more knowledgeable. That is according to the studies. They tend to be very careful and are much less likely to take outside risks, which she points out could be preferred in many circumstances. And she says that introverted leaders often get better results because they're more likely to let employees run with their ideas, whereas extroverts can get so excited about putting their stamp on things, they can unwittingly get it, not even trying, they kind of get in the way of others' ideas bubbling up. She said also that leaders who are introverted also give out the impression that because they don't enjoy the spotlight, they are doing it because of their passion and their belief is so strong in what they're doing and that it's right, and that this is a powerful inspiration to those who follow them. She also talks about creativity and there being an advantage in that area because solitude is critical and it's a crucial component of creativity. And she gives examples of spiritual leaders, seekers, who go off into the wilderness, that solitude being needed for contemplation, and that gives them these great breakthroughs and helps them define their missions. Now, mind you, I know that in her book, in her talk, in her book, she has a book called Quiet, The Power of Introverts in a World That Can't Stop Talking. She talks about the power of the introvert, obviously. But I think what she does is points out really well is that it's about the aspects of introversion. Just because you're an extrovert doesn't mean that you don't want to sometimes be in the introverted mode. It's just a question of how long you want to be there before you start getting tired. Just like an introverted person can go be in extroverted mode, but how long can they stay there before they get tired? So I think that's really smart. And she doesn't go into that into detail, but I do understand that and want to point that out. The great thing about Kane's work is that she does point out some examples of famous, successful introverts, which gives us introverts hope that we can be successful and we can make our mark. She says people like J.K. Rowling, Isaac Newton, Albert Einstein, Gandhi, Dr. Seuss, Yeats. She says Steven Spielberg is an introvert. And, of course, we all know about Steve Wozniak, who paired up with the extrovert, Steve Jobs, and some really good examples. And, oh, there's one more thing I want to mention about the advantage that introverts have. And I've learned this not only through my own self-observation. I also heard a confirmation of this from an expert who says he's extroverted. And I'm talking about introverted people having an advantage in networking. Tom Singer, author of Some Assembly Required, and he has other books on networking, he said this once in a live presentation I attended, ironically, at a networking function. He said that, and he was the guest speaker, he said that, and I totally agree 100%, that an introvert is actually got an advantage in the networking situation. He says that, especially if they're dealing with strangers or with people that they hardly know, the introverts, first inclination is to encourage the other person to go first when making introductions. And that's because, you know, in most cases, the introvert really wants to buy time to think of responses and to understand how to open up and share with the other person, their other individual. Like, let that other person go first, let them talk, and then the introvert can get comfortable and relax into the social situation a little bit better and then understand how to interact because they're just more slow-moving. They're thoughtful, but they seem to be more slow-moving in this area. But here's how the other person feels. The other person who is allowed or encouraged to go first is thinking, oh, you're so nice, you care about me, you want to know about me. And so that person feels warm and fuzzy now. And for that reason, the introvert might actually be perceived as warm and social and less reserved than he or she probably actually is. And this really helps to foster better relationships, especially at the outset when things are beginning. So Tom Singer points out that he's an extrovert and he has had to suppress this natural urge to dive in and excitedly talk first because he's so energized from being with that someone or with that group. And hey, in a world that values extroversion, that's a nice advantage to know about. Hey, fellow extroverts, let's rejoice. And before I wrap up today, I want to bring it back to the turtle metaphor and Dr. Conant. There's not a lot written out there about James Bryant Conant's personality. Apparently, even his autobiography is lean on personal facts, which I think is a clue, actually. But I can't help think that he was personally either an ambivert or an introvert. I look at what he did with his time, how he spent lots of time in solitary thinking and solitary activities, what little we have out there you know, of course, we talk about his researching, his chemistry achievements as a scientist, writing, hike. Apparently, in his leisure time, he liked to hike. Later, he took up rock climbing until he had a back injury. So those kinds of things are very solitary in their nature. There's also the fact that his granddaughter, Janet Conant, later described him as a private man. So maybe, just maybe, Dr. Conant was making a self-observation about being a turtle making progress when he stuck his own neck out. And look at his amazing accomplishments. So I just want everyone to feel inspired by that. All right, so that's really all I have for you today. Though I tried my best to power pack a lot of information into today's program, it's amazing what we know about ourselves, thanks to some really smart psychologists and biologists. Thanks so much for joining me. And let's see, the next time I broadcast live, it'll be June 5th. My topic is on goals, subtitled Prepare to Take Detours in Stride. Before I close, let me remind you to look me up at angelaloeb.com. That's angela.loeb.com. Oh, there's no dot in the middle. It's just angelaloeb.com. On that page, you'll see ways to connect with me on social media, or even better, you can reach out via email. I'd love to hear from you. Until next time, dear introvert, extrovert, ambivert, whatever style you are in your awesomeness, be sure to shine on like you're meant to.